I was talking about Hillary Clinton. There were accusations that there was a violation of the Constitution when she was made Secretary of State. It turns out, under certain codes, that you cannot offer a federal job that pays more money than they are getting if they're a seated senator or congressman. Well, the Supreme Court just threw it out today, and I guess they adjusted her pay to make it legal. You know, they said, oh, I know we committed a crime, but we're just going to lower the pay. There's going to be a lot of that going on. They don't recognize the rule of law, much less God's law. So when I apply that to the Obongo birth certificate thing, I mean, I already know he's an illegal alien. I already know he's a liar. I already know that he was put there by the New World Order, so I don't get all excited about it, but there's been some good stuff coming out. You know, copies of his birth certificate from Kenya being verified by Kenyan political hacks over there. All kinds of stuff. So look for it to beef up a little bit. They're going to start attacking the birthers, as they like to be called, I guess. I just, you know, whatever you want to call yourself. I see, what's his name, Pastor Manning catching more heat for this, you know, because he's going to pursue it. But once you get to the Supreme Court, they're just going to deny hearing to hear it. The system is rigged, folks. You can file all the lawsuits and all the motions you want, but the ballot box and petitioning out in front waving a sign isn't going to do any good. I'm sorry. I get a lot of Tea Partiers that like this show, and they keep telling me I shouldn't slam them. I'm not slamming you. I mean, if it makes you feel good, do it, but it's just so much noise and fury. And we know what that is. It signifies nothing. You can say, but people say, but we got Rand Paul. We got this. We got that. They're already destroying Rand Paul in the media for making common sense statements. I have no disagreement with just about anything he said. But it doesn't matter if it's constitutionally sound, true, or biblical, because they're going to tear him to shreds. You're basically throwing Rand Paul to the lions. It's just like, you know, Rome before they...
They call him a racist.
Yeah, he's a racist. They call him a racist. That's it. It's over with. You never come back from that. I think the only guy who did was... there was a radio announcer, really, really old guy on NBC. I can't think of his name now. He and Howard Stern, he hated each other. It doesn't come to mind. But he made a comment about some Southern basketball-playing females. They were all black, and he called them, like, super hoes or something. Imus. Yes, Imus.
Nappy-headed hoes.
Nappy-headed hoes. He's the only guy I know of that has survived. So the only thing I can think of is he took half of his net worth and gave it to Al Sharpton. And then Al Sharpton called the dogs off.
Zog set him up, too.
Yeah. He's been set up. But he kind of recovered, but I don't know anybody else who has.
David Duke.
Yeah, David Duke. Look at, who's the lady that just got kicked out of the press pool at the... She's been there for 50 years. I gotta find that story again. That was... she's another one. She went after Israel. You know who I'm talking about. And I apologize if the computers are doing nutsy stuff here, but... She has been in the front seat for 50 years through all these administrations, always been a hassler. She worked for Knight Rider for a while. She worked for somebody different now. She made an offhand comment about Israel. She said they should get the heck out of Palestine.
It's
532. It's 532. Hang on a minute. And let me finish the story here. And now she's been fired. Well, she was forced to resign, and she stepped down for making a statement that is common sense. You want to stop the Palestinian-Israeli war? Get the Israelis out of the Gaza Strip, out of Palestine. Don't let them kill and get away with it. But now they kicked her out. Which is funny because Obongo doesn't even like Israel. It's probably the one thing we agree upon. So go ahead and cue it up and start playing it, Lou. You don't have to wait for me. Just start playing the music. I'll bring it up. We'll be back after this break.
Some called me M.I.A. Some say I can't go home again. Some say I chose to stay. I am the unknown soldier who you refuse to know. A brother and a friend of yours who left so long ago. Some call me POW, the one they left behind. I am the unknown soldier, the one they never tried to find.
I'm the one they never tried to find. I'm a farmer from Missouri, the soldier from St. Paul. I was the hero of my family, and still my picture is upon their wall. I'm a poet and a scholar, and the boy who lived next door. I am the unknown soldier, forgotten on a foreign shore, long forgotten on a foreign shore. I was someone's loving daddy, I was someone's pride and joy, I was someone's tender lover, a worried mama's a little boy. And if you should just forget me here, then should I forget you too? Please won't you try to bring me home, for I'm someone who belongs to you. I'm still someone who belongs to you. I am the unknown soldier with no more tears to shed. I'm just a fading memory, a part of the living dead. My country has betrayed me, yet I have forgiven you. And every night I pray to God, somehow he'll forgive you too. Yes, even somehow he'll forgive you too. I am the unknown soldier, the one for whom you cry. That familiar face that you can't face, the one your country told you died. I am the unknown soldier, with dreams you'll rescue me. And I am a man who understands. Only death might ever set me free. Only death might ever set me free. I am the unknown soldier, and I'm black and blue and gray. I said I am the unknown soldier, and I die slowly every day. And I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I'm lonely, and I'm cold. I am the unknown soldier, the one you bought and sold. I'm the one you bought and sold. So lay down close beside me now, and gently stroke my face, and wrap your arms around me now, before we leave this place. Some called me POW, some called me MIA, some say I can't come home again, but I will return someday.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Okie dokie, we're back. We're not using the intro today because when we tried it in the opening, it was garbled. I'm Dutch Jones, and this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Please go to dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk, if you want to learn more about us. We also have a little surplus store, as you just heard, online. You can get things from us. We had a call today for a water filter. So that's a blessing for us. So if you're interested, if you have a need, get it from us. You'll help us both out. You'll get what you need, and I'll be able to continue to pontificate on the radio. That's a word that I looked up today. A couple of things. I was talking about Helen Thomas. Helen Thomas ends a five-decade career in controversy because she badmouthed Israel. That's what I was talking about before the break. She's kind of a scary-looking woman, but the fact that she simply said something against Israel put her out to pasture. So it just shows that even with Obongo, who is a anti-Israeli, the studio audience has to leave because the flies are coming in here real bad. It's the time of year. I don't know where they come from. I don't know if it's like some mass grave near here.
You see this dead cat in the
I thought that cat looked dead too. See, he thought it was dead too. Flies are just all over us here today, and we've got the windows open because we've got no air conditioning. But that was Helen Thomas, for those of you that wanted to know. Yeah, it's a communist plot. Another story. Do you guys remember a few months back that video that was leaked on WikiLeaks of American helicopter pilots, ground forces, and
Collateral Murder
was the name of the video. And I forgot to put your mic up, Lou. And in fact, yeah, there we go. Now it's sounding pretty good. And it just outraged. There was a cover up. They said that these two Reuters photographers, reporters that were killed, they were hanging around with militants and there was no way to pull them out of the crowd. But when we saw the video, we saw exactly what happened. It was just slaughter. There were no weapons. The pilots are lying. Oh, he's pointing an RPG at me. But we see clearly there's no RPGs. And they continue to kill. I think eight were eventually killed. And some children were wounded when they shot a van that came to pick up the wounded. It was just horrible. Well, the soldier that possibly leaked that has been arrested. They didn't arrest the pilots. They didn't arrest the operation control. They didn't arrest the ground troops. They didn't arrest anybody. And they said, well, it looks like it was okay. Now, a U.S. soldier in Iraq has been arrested for allegedly leaking classified information to whistleblower website WikiLeaks, now including a video of a helicopter strike in Baghdad and the U.S. Now, Specialist Bradley Manning, I wonder if he's related to Pastor Manning, 22, who was deployed at the base near Baghdad, is in pretrial confinement for allegedly releasing classified information and is currently confined in Kuwait. Now, U.S. Forces Iraq said this in a statement. Pentagon spokesman Brian Whitman said investigators were probing allegations that Manning supplied classified video and 2,600 secret diplomatic cables to WikiLeaks, as first reported by Wired, the website of technology magazine Wired. I think that's why the Criminal Investigation Division is taking a very scrupulous look at this, Whitman told reporters. Wired.com said Manning of Potomac, Maryland, was arrested nearly 2 weeks ago by the U.S. Army Criminal Investigations Division. That's CID. That's like their FBI, CID, within the branches of the military. Every MP, their goal is to eventually become CID. Not mine, but those that were lifers, they wanted to get that CID badge and be able to dress like a civilian and that kind of stuff. Now, at Forward Operating Base Hammer, 40 miles east of Baghdad, Manning, who was serving with the 2nd Brigade 10th Mountain Division, good people in that unit, I served with them, not as a 10th Mountain, but as an MP on loan, was turned in late Monday after boasting to a former computer hacker in an online conversation that he had leaked the video in 2007. When there, now that's his mistake there. If you're going to do something as noble as this, don't talk about it, don't brag about it, don't try to earn the laurels of it, just fade into the woodwork. The problem with most of these people that leak these whistleblowers that do it for good, they're not looking for money, not looking for a payoff, it's not a revenge, a disgruntled employee, they brag about it. You can't do that. I mean, the old saying, loose lips sink ships. Well, loose lips got this soldier in the brig. Let me take another drink here. Excuse me, stockade. Let me call it a stockade. Now, WikiLeaks released video in April of the Apache helicopter attack in Baghdad, which killed two employees of the Reuters news agency and a number of other people. Now, this article kind of glosses over what happened. It was a slaughter. Collateral murder. Google it and watch it. It's on our website. Go to DutchJones.tk, look for Collateral Murder, and watch the video.
It should be already on there right now.
Yeah, you should be looking at it right now. Just scroll down. WikiLeaks said at the time it had obtained the video from a number of military whistleblowers, but did not provide any further information about how it got a hold of the footage, which it posted on WikiLeaks and on YouTube. Manning reportedly said he had leaked other material to WikiLeaks, including separate video of a 2009 airstrike in Afghanistan, a classified Army document evaluating WikiLeaks as a security threat, and classified U.S. diplomatic cables. So, you know, so much for freedom of the press, right? WikiLeaks, I don't know what else they've released, but I've just been involved with them on this.
They said that they would protect your identity.
Yeah, this guy, they tried to protect his identity, but he was stupid and bragged about it in a chat room. So it doesn't matter if they were going to protect his identity. They were stupid. Manning reportedly said he had leaked other material. I just read that. Hillary Clinton and several thousand diplomats around the world are going to have a heart attack when they wake up one morning and find an entire repository of classified foreign policy is available in searchable format to the public, Wired quoted Manning as writing. Well, yeah. Exactly. You know, let's stop this ungodly war. Let's embarrass these politicians. Let's show what they're really talking about. I think this guy's a hero. I don't know about him personally. I don't know if he's a Christian. I don't know if he's a patriot. I don't know if he's a 3%er. I don't know if he's an oath keeper. I don't know any of that. Do you hear the fly on the microphone? Where is he?
He's on mine.
Yeah, get him off your mic. That was bizarre. That was like 1950s sci-fi-ish. I thought, oh no, we're getting attacked by giant flies. Okay. WikiLeaks said in a message on Twitter feed that allegations in Wired that we have been sent 2,600 classified U.S. Embassy cables are, as far as we can tell, incorrect. Spokesman Philip Crowley said the State Department would take a leak of classified documents seriously. Yeah, but killing civilians and the media, no, that's not serious at all. But leaking out the cover-up behind it, oh, that's very serious. WikiLeaks said that if Manning is the whistleblower, then without a doubt, he's a national hero. Wired said Manning had been in touch with former hacker Adrian Lamo, L-A-M-O, well, he's a Lamo for turning him in, who contacted Army investigators and FBI agents after being told of the leaks. See, this scumbag Lamo went right to the feds. This guy's a hacker himself, and then you can't trust anybody. That's another reason you shut up. You know, just because this guy's a hacker, he jumped at the chance. Probably some punk kid. I don't know. I don't know anything about him. We should Google him, find out who he is, and send him a hate mail. I wouldn't have done this if lives weren't in danger, Lamo told Wired about turning Manning into the authorities. He was in a war zone and basically trying to vacuum up as much classified information as he could and just throwing it up in the air, Lamo said. Now, WikiLeaks, run by Sunshine Press, describes itself as a nonprofit organization funded by human rights campaigners, investigative journalists and technologists, and the general public. So once again, the possible guy who leaked the collateral murder video and documents is probably going to be railroaded. Hopefully they'll just kick him out of the military, give him a dishonorable discharge, and send him on his way. But who knows? They like to make examples of people that don't play along. You know, he'll probably end up getting stabbed or something in jail. You know, he'll never go. You know, it's harder to, you know, I got to say one thing about UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice. We don't have that kind of stuff going on in our jails like you have in public civilian jails. But if they want you dead, you're going to be dead. It's just like any other prison system. There's nothing you can do about it. Another thing I wanted to talk about from letters.
We'll put them in protective custody.
Yeah, protective custody. Yeah, they'll protect them with a pistol upside the head. One thing that I forgot and didn't even pay attention to, which is kind of weird because I like this stuff, the Bilderbergs were meeting in Spain over the last few days. It ended yesterday. They went to Spain. They went to the sodomite capital of Spain. I can't even pronounce the name of this. Let me find this. ISA. It's SITGES, Sitges, Spain. So they picked a new Sodom in Spain. To have their meeting, and of course all the regulars were there. I watched some videos. You know, you had your usual Prison Planet people there. You had your 9/11 people there. You had something. I can't remember what that one group was called. Anyway, I was watching the videos, and one thing I noticed: the police over there are a little different than our police. They showed up with riot gear, but they kept it hooked on their belts. Their baton in the ring, And they just, like, shoved people. It was kind of like, excuse me. The video actually said, you know, we are changed, gets brutalized by police, but nothing compared to what, like, NYPD or Seattle PD or LAPD would do. They were just, like, they were saying stuff in Spanish, which was kind of hard to understand, and just gently shoving everybody back to the containment line because they had crossed a barrier to keep them on one side of the street, the protesters. And these Italian troops and maybe soldiers, I don't know, because some of them had these weird, funky-looking berets. You know how, like, our guys wear that funky-looking stupid beret now in the military? I hate it. But this one was even bigger. It looked like almost like a chef hat hanging way down. Oh, I just hit my earphone. Way off on the side. But Sitges, or however you say it, is beautiful in every respect, from its quaint narrow streets to its beautiful beaches. But in terms of sheer convenience for the gay holidaymaker, there's nowhere like it. This is from a tourism thing. Everything from the sodomite bars to the sodomite discos to the sodomite restaurants to the sodomite beaches to the sodomite cruising area to sodomite shopping to your sodomite hotels, all within 5 minutes walk of each other. Diversity is the norm in Sitges. And if somebody else knows how to pronounce it, call in 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225.
You can get to your penning in time. Look on the top of the screen.
Yeah, sure. What are you talking about? If you're always wondered what in the world would be like if we would all live side by side without sexual orientation being an issue, this is where to see how it's done. Isn't that ridiculous? And so the Bilderbergs met there. Now, the inside stuff that I've been seeing, I'm not going to go into it because there are better men than I that are reporting on this. But basically, they're scared to death. America hasn't capitulated. I'm talking about the citizens, not the government. The government has long since capitulated. But no one here in America is bowing down to them as, you know, Kissinger didn't get his guns by September. I honestly believe they got the wrong man in office. They wanted Hillary, who would have been the right man for the job for them. But they're making the best of a bad situation. They're trying to rethink everything. They're going to go after everything. Like I said, they're stepping everything up, but they're scared. Breaking from their regular plan and being forced to break from their regular plan is something that's good for us. Because we know that there's just not enough of them to do what they want to all of us unless we bow down. So, yeah, I completely forgot. You know, usually I get all these emails, oh, it's time for Bilderbergs. But, you know, was it not Tex Mars, but I'm trying to remember all the names of the people. But it's all there. You can go check it out. I just Googled Bilderberg, Sitges, Spain, and I got a ton of stuff up on it. The videos were pretty cool. You know, your usual protests. You had Alex Jones out there, or his people, I think. I don't know if he was there with a megaphone. I don't think he's allowed to travel anymore. I know last time when he went to Canada, they basically gave him a rectal exam and held him for hours.
And refused to give a thumbprint.
Yeah, he refused to give a thumbprint, and, you know, he's out there doing his thing. Whether you hate him or love him, at least he's exposing some stuff, even if it's for, you know, Zog. But, you know, anyway, we can glean something off of it. So, we're coming up on the top of the hour. We're going to switch over to Liberty Tree Radio. If you have any calls you want to make, hold them till then, and you'll go out all over the country again to all the people listening on all the FM stations. So that's the place to air your grievances, to ask your questions, to find out about solutions, to find out about anything that I can help you with. If I don't know it, I'll direct you to someone who does know it. I'm not an expert. I'm a generalist. I know a little bit about everything. We have an election coming up here for sheriff in the next couple of days, and it's going to get interesting here. So I may talk a little bit about that. It's Tuesday that we're going to have the election tomorrow, but Wednesday I'll be able to tell you a little bit. You guys know that I went to one of the debates and pretty much, you know, stuck some sticks in the gears so that they didn't like what we were doing, and we're finding out there was a lot of fallout from that. They didn't like the fact that three militia guys stood up and asked questions on the Constitution. We've been talking to some like-minded sheriff deputies, and they're saying that the higher rankings are trying to figure out what to do, and then you have the other half saying, hey, we're more like you than you know. No, you're not. If you were more like us than you know, you would support the Constitution. Everybody's all up in arms about this Arizona law. Do you know California basically has the same law? It's been on the books for a while, that if an illegal alien commits a felony, he's to be deported, he's to be checked, and the police are to report him. But no police officer I've ever confronted will do it, just like the two guys running for office here for sheriff. One is a small town police chief now, but he's been a deputy sheriff. The other one is a career politician sheriff of Tulare County. And neither of them said that they would enforce the Constitution. So it's just another pillar of our society being smashed with a sledgehammer by so-called public officials. And it's just an example of where we're heading. Like I always say, I don't know the time frame, but unless you get out among these events and watch them closely and keep an eye on them, you're not going to have a sense of the rhythm of this thing. If you just go and hide away in your house and ignore everything, I mean, I ignore some things. I told you that. I admit that. I'm not crazy about the 9/11 thing. I know what happened. I surmised that it was an inside job, and I moved on. But there are some things that we need to keep track of, so that we can better tell when it's time to make a stand, retreat, or attack. It's as simple as that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the next hour, on how, you know, where I think the militia movement should be going. Just one man's opinion. I'm by no means a leader. I'm not even a leader in my militia. I'm just a guy who gets up and reads out of manuals for people so they can learn from it. And if you're listening and you're a local, don't forget, and we can change this date. Some people pointed out that the date for the muster is also Father's Day. So look at the calendar here and see. Let's see. Where's what date?
19th.
The 19th. Okay, that's July. Let's go back one. Okay, we got June 19th. Sunday is Father's Day. So I don't know if you guys get something planned for the 19th, but what we want to do is have a muster here at the facility. And we want to have everybody bring all their gear. It's going to be a shakedown to see what you got, what you need, what you don't need that you're carrying around. Maybe look at some communal things as we set up our little three-man fire teams, three-man response groups. Because remember, we are the emergency response families. We're just as likely to be called out for a flood as we are for martial law. So we're going to be working on all that stuff. Don't forget to bring your list. I want a list. I want you to bring with you your blood type, how many members in your family, who you will be bringing with you if we have a call out and we have to respond here to the stronghold. We're going to need all that stuff on there. What else was there? There was your skills. What skills and what would you like to do? What part, what role would you like to play? Now, we're just a wee little group here. Sometimes I get discouraged when I listen to, you know, shows like the Intelligence Report, and I hear about these militias doing all this. I watch videos, and I see, you know, 30, 40, 50 guys training with armored personnel carriers. But then I got to remember, we do the best we can with what we got, and we honor ourselves before the Lord. That's what we're doing. I mean, humble ourselves before the Lord to honor the Lord. That's all we can do, and there's nothing wrong with that. And if all we can offer is the most basic, that's where we start. There's nothing wrong with that, and we build from there. So all members of the group up here, just remember that it's going to be on the 17th. Did I say that right?
19th.
Yeah, 19th of June. We will have the muster here. If you want to change that day, we have one more Sunday before that. We're going to have a meeting on the 13th, and we can discuss changing the time. I would like it to be early, but some of you people are coming from pretty far away. We can move that back. And be prepared to spend the night here. We're going to sleep out on the field. There will be no open fires because of the fire danger. Fire discipline anyway, light and noise discipline is a good thing. So bring your small little stoves or your chemical reactive stuff. I'm just going to eat a cold. I'm going to have a cold camp. It'll be easier for us. But that's what we're going to do. So bring the gear. And if you don't have gear, contact me before. And I'll see, because we've got some extras. We've got extra sleeping bags. We've got a couple extra tents. You know, we can loan to you to give you an idea of what you're going to need. And just be ready for show and tell. We're getting ready to break. This has been the first hour of the Dutch Jones Radio program. Go ahead and roll the music loop. And we'll be back after the top of the hour.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stateless and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps. Our forefathers stand in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess.
We must take America back.
Die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Okay, folks, and we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We don't have our intro. There was some digital mayhem went on moments before we went on the air an hour ago, and it fell about what?
Rocky Hill said he wanted yard selling.
Okay, thanks. That really helps while I'm doing the intro. This is Dutch Jones. Lou, you don't talk, and then you talk when I'm doing the intro. Rocky Hill went yard selling. Wait till later, okay? We're coming to you live from the church at Kuia. If you don't know what that is, go to dutchjones.tk and check it out there. dutchjones.tk. Stacy just came home.
Hello.
Hello.
After a hard day of pushing the government's mail around. She's not an official postal worker employee just for the county, but, in her offices. But we try to bring you the Christian militant worldview, and it's important that I say it in that order. I don't always, but I just, when I restart out the show, Christian militant worldview, where we believe, without a doubt, 100%, in pressing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into every aspect of society. Arts, entertainment, military, politics, education, even leisure time, we believe that Jesus is the sovereign over all of us. Now, sometimes we get into arguments with the sovereign folks. You know, they say, no, I'm a sovereign. Nobody is over me. But we believe that King Jesus is the only king. No king but King Jesus. And we try to bring that to our listeners through our Dutch Jones page and also here on Liberty Tree Radio. We're very blessed to be on here. I enjoy being on here. We hope it continues and that we continue to get more listeners. I'm getting email from Liberty Tree Radio guys. It's been great. We just got a request. A listener heard the commercial for the water softener, so I sent him some information. Water softener, did
water
I say?
Softener.
We sell water softeners.
Oi. Water
no,
filters.
Water
the
filters
best.
And purifiers. And I sent him to our website, and hopefully he'll get it. We also have a Liberty Tree Radio listener who actually lives in the next town over, Three Rivers, and didn't acted like he didn't know we were here. He's like, that's the church up on North Fork? You guys are like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I Googled him, and he's
been
a musician.
Here, what, forever?
He's been here since 95, so that was a nice connection. So, Chaz, if you're listening today, you're welcome to come up to church any day. We do our sermons on Sundays at 10 p.m.
Don't forget Wednesdays.
Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Yeah, it was Charles.
Chaz something. Yeah, Charles. He said it was like it said he signed it Chaz, so that may be what he wants to be called. So it's
hey,
great
Chaz.
That we're expanding because of Liberty Tree Radio.
Yay.
It is well worth actually there's no added effort on our part. A lot of added effort on Ed Kornke's part. He has to make sure that our feed's going, we don't collapse and all that. But it's great. It's been a blessing since we switched over here. God took a really bad thing with First Amendment Radio and made it a great thing with Liberty Tree Radio. Now, before the break, we were talking about current events and all that kind of stuff, and you know, a few things. And then I was talking about, we're getting feedback. Or is that a truck going by? Wow! So it just sounds like so much stuff is vibrating on this table. We got to get a better table. No, you still hear it? That's okay. Just put it down. We'll have to bear with it. It'll take a couple hours before we can get the archive of this show up. Our regular archivist, Olima, is unfortunately at a funeral, and we are sorry for her loss. She won't be available today or tomorrow to do it, so we're recording it while we're doing it here. So even if we have dropouts, we can edit it and put it back up on the website maybe tomorrow. I think Lou should be able to get that done. So if you want the full archive, because sometimes it, you know, with the dropouts, you broadcast. Now, we're trying to get Ustream up, but we got to work on that. What are you pointing at the chat room? What's up, Lou?
Rocky Hill said, I got you two propane tanks. Didn't you say you needed some?
We needed propane tanks and barbecues. We need a barbecue and propane tanks. So thank you for the propane tanks. We don't know if we're going to have to do a mass feed or something. Our kitchen, we can feed about 275 people with our kitchen. So we're thinking if we get more refugees, more militia folks coming to show up, we're building for that. We're going to need more barbecues. And when I say refugees, that doesn't mean just anybody, so I need to put that out there. In order to be a member of our group, you have to be associated with the church.
You need to see your driver's license.
No, we don't need to see your driver's license. But you have to have an abiding relationship with us. Come here, worship. Come here to our conference even members that go to our conference continually. Volunteer up here, and you're welcome. Anybody in Central California, we're located right outside the gates of Sequoia National Park. If you're coming here for a vacation, make time, take the time to come here for one of our church services at 10 a.m. If you can't come here, go to thechurch@cahuilla.org, thechurch@cahuilla.org, or just go to my site and there's a link there. And you can use our bookstore, buy videos from us, learn what we believe and how we share it. Online, there's the bookstore online. Yeah, it's you're the webmaster, and you didn't even know that was there?
I did.
Okay, I mean, you turn down your mic, and you need to just walk out of the room now and stuff.
I thought you meant on Dutch Jones.
No. Go to the church's website, and you can get all kinds of sermons. I'm running into a lot of people go, oh, yeah, I got a video back from them back in the 50s. Our current effort that's out there floating around is to teach them war. I could tell you one thing. It's really raised the cockles of our enemies. People in this community hated that we put it out. It spread through this community so fast, like one person bought it from us, and then they went and showed it like to the whole community, and all the hippies were like, oh no, we've got another Waco up there. And then when the Hutari thing, they were going, oh, it's the next Hutari. These blind sheep hippie potheads got no idea. They have no idea what the truth is. They have no idea what we're really doing. You try and tell them, I go, yeah, last week we trained to look for lost kids. We did grid search and rescue. We did communications. We're going to train to fill sandbags. We're going to train to operate a shelter in the event of a wildfire.
And they went to one of their crops last week.
Yeah. What?
And they went to one of their crops last week.
Who?
The hippies.
Oh, see, Luke, yeah. Okay, he's talking about the marijuana fields up here. That's not the hippies. The Mexican mafia that do that. The hippies up here don't do that. They keep their pot in the backyard. They have the little canopies. Yeah, and their windowsill and their closets with their grow lights. It's the weirdest thing up here. The local radio stations play all these commercials to grow marijuana illegally. I don't know. It's just kind of strange. I have no problem with marijuana. I mean, just like I have no problem with whiskey. I don't, use either product. And if they're abused, if they're a detriment, then it's a sin. But, don't get drunk with wine. But that is really weird. Every time I touch the table, I hear the whirring. But that's who we are. That's what we're doing. And what I wanted to talk about today, where are the Daniels? And I'm not talking Charlie Daniels. I'm talking Daniel from the Bible. Anyone who's willing to stand in the gap. Under decree from the king, he refused to pray to their gods, and under penalty of death, he continued to pray to our God, the one and only God. And then, he was thrown in the lion's den, and the Lord protected him. And then you have the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you just don't see that kind of thing today. You had during the 1860s, you had Lee and Stonewall and Jefferson Davis and that handful of people during the great war for our independence from those idiots over in England. I always think the 4th of July should be changed to I Hate England Day. I still argue constantly in forums and on YouTube and all kinds of correspondence with these, British folks that think that, we're their bastard stepchild and that we should still honor them. It's not so. But we don't see that today. I'm looking for people to for the Lord to anoint and rise up, and I just don't see it. So what that tells me is that now isn't the time. We're still in a time period. Boy, that hiss sound is coming from everywhere. Okay, I don't know if it's coming from headphones or what. Okay, stop moving stuff. But that tells me that we have time. That tells me that we're not out of luck. That we're not behind the eight ball. Because the Lord will raise up leaders when the time comes. For those of you that are new listeners, on Mondays I like to get a little spiritual. I don't get equipment. Stop typing, Lewis. Just pounding. There's no reason to type. Just tell me what they're saying.
Chuck's asking if your email's working.
Who?
Chuck.
Make sure you send all emails to DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. I'm getting emails right now from listeners that I'm looking at. I just want to know. But we're doing fine. Are you plugged in all the way?
Yeah.
This is driving me nuts. Because I don't know what it sounds like to the listeners, but it's like bongo drums going off in my head. It's like,
maybe it's Wadaba.
Huh?
Maybe it's Wadaba.
It's Wadaba. No, it's not Wadaba. It's something that's some mic that's open somewhere. And when I take down my mic, let's see. It sounds like you're just going tap, 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 tap. Anyway, I'm just going to fight through it and let it go. So what do we do in this time frame until the time is ripe and it's time to rise up? Well, we go about doing what it is the Lord has chosen us to do. Whatever bears fruit, continue in that activity. If that means reaching out, if that means going out of your way to... it's getting worse.
Yeah. Obongo drums.
Yeah. The fan's off. I don't know what it is. We got obongo drums in the background. Oh, wait a minute. Did that get rid of it? That got rid of it a little bit until I do this. There is a mic on the table. There is something that is picking up... listen. That's weird. So you've got a microphone on something that's in the system.
No.
You've got an open mic somewhere. That's my mic.
That mic's not on.
And I'm not hooked in. It's just a ghost in the machine.
Charlie asked if you got his email on Jerry Kane and his son that got killed.
On what?
Jerry Kane and his son Joe that got killed.
Who's asking?
Chuck.
Yeah, I got that and looked through it. Yeah, I had that website before, Chuck. We talked about it to some extent, and then somebody called in and said they were black that day. I remember we talked about it. I know that they're trying to raise money for their funeral for the Kane family. You know, they were murdered by highway patrolmen, city cops, and Lord knows what else. But we're going to see more of that. We're going to see more pastors getting killed. We're going to see more patriots being killed for telling the truth. But that's what we got to keep doing. We don't stop. We keep telling the truth. We keep going out there. If your calling is to just build a home church, if your calling is to build a militia, if your calling is to store food and educate your neighbors, do it. Just keep doing what you're doing and apply more time to it if you can. Don't give up. Just because the fuse hasn't been lit doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing what we're doing. We don't know how long a fuse it is. Only God knows that. Only the Lord knows when He's going to make these things come to pass. And we cannot do anything else other than continue down the path that has already been shown to us. So what we're doing up here, we're just trying to organize the families. And I've challenged everyone at the church to bring new people to the church. People that you trust. I mean, don't go up to complete strangers and go, hey, come to our militia meeting. Come to our emergency family response teams meeting. No, we're diligent. We'd be wise. And, you know, try and get people involved in the community. One of the things I want to see us do, once we get a little better organized, I want to start doing community outreach stuff. And a lot of people say, why do you want to do that? They already hate us. They already vilify us. There's absolutely no reason to try and win them over. Well, I'm not looking at it as a PR campaign. I'm looking at it as recruiting. If we're out there, you know, I'll give examples of things I've done in other militia groups, and we're helping a senior citizen clean up her yard so that they don't come and steal her money from the county code enforcement people. People driving by are going to say, who are those guys? Where are they? And then they go, oh, well, that's the blankety-blank militia. I don't mean blankety-blanket swear, but just whatever you want to call it. Oh, that's the emergency response families from the church at Kaweah. They pick a project every month or every 3 months or whatever it is, and they do it. I mean, the time for interacting with law enforcement, we saw where that got Hutari, right? I'm not really big on that, but if there were a lost child up here, we should be trained and focused on assisting. At least search the easy areas so that their trained professional searchers, you know, won't be needed there. And I'm talking about, you know, and this sounds as bad as this is, but we've done this before, dumpsters, playgrounds, arcades, you know, looking for the kid, hoping for, you know, that maybe the kid has just wandered off or worse. Yeah, it's terrible, but it's true. You know, and we've had to do that. And that way it pulls people off of critical things. But you can't just walk up and do it. You have to have some kind of training. You have to have some kind of relationship. And right now the police are turning their back on us. I mean, literally. So that might not be a good thing, but you might get into the community and find if there's a community-based organization that wants to do good deeds. Just say, hey, I got 13 volunteers available for you. You know, and who is it? Oh, we're with the emergency response families from a church, and we're disaster preparedness. And go ahead and shut that window, Lou. There's just like 10,000 flies coming in. And that is one of the best ways I've ever found to outreach to people. The other thing, we used to do free training. We put up flyers and say, you know, free survival training. I don't even know if we're still on the air now. Really good, Lou.
What the heck are you?
Just put it up. Now shut the window, Lou. Did it turn off? Are we on the air?
Yeah.
Lou just took out our entire router system. But I think we're still good. Now be careful and watch what you do. So what we would do is actually where I was doing it, two weekends every 3 months, we would invite people in and I would teach them preparedness for earthquakes, preparedness for flooding, preparedness for all kinds of stuff for free. And they say, well, who's doing this? Is this the government? Nope. Who is it? Well, this is the Emergency Response Force. That was our group's name where we lived. And we said, we're just doing it for you. We're just civilians that are collecting for the common good to defend our neighbors against calamity and disasters. You know, we don't tell them about, you know, foreign invaders or anything until we get to know them better. And they loved it. We put flyers up. We put ads in the paper. We even put a couple ads up on the local TV channels. And we'd get 40 to 50 people a weekend. And we teach everything from preparing your get-out-of-dodge bag, what we called it, your survival pack, to cribbing and moderate rescue, you know, after a secondary collapse or a first, primary collapse of a building. You want to get your loved one out. How do you lift all that heavy material? A lot of us went out and on our own dime got certified as first aid and CPR instructors through first American Red Cross, then American Heart. We had a falling out with the American Red Cross when they wouldn't let a bunch of Boy Scouts sing God Bless America at one of our volunteer rally things. So I don't have anything to do with Red Cross anymore. So we went American Heart. The Civil War ring. Okay, somebody sent me something here. I'm trying to see what it is. I just got an email from Chuck, and there's no link. I don't understand it. Okay, whatever you sent with me, I don't see it on here, but that's okay, Chuck. I'll check it again. Maybe you can resend it. I don't see a link or anything. But that was a great waste. We had a lot of nurses coming in. Sure, we'd have 40 or 50 people who'd take advantage of the freeness of it. We even supplied them with a meal. And, we go out and buy little Caesars pizza and a bunch of 2 liters of soda. But there are always one or two in every one of those classes that, you know, during the breaks would come up and talk to us. Who are you guys? What do you do? Who are you sanctioned by? How did you guys get organized? So, well, it was just a few friends got together and, you know, we did it. And then, you know, as we get to know them, then we introduce them to the Second Amendment issues that we defend. We became very political. We ended up being in a couple parades even. And right under their noses, they never thought of us as a militia. They thought of us as a auxiliary volunteer group for public safety. Great way to start a militia. Great way to reach out. The other way that we started a militia, the second one I was in, was a four-wheel drive club. It was a regular four-wheel drive club. I joined it. And like so much yeast in the bread, I started recruiting people that were like-minded from my other group. And we turned it into a survival off-road vehicle emergency response group. We never, ever, ever got deployed because, you know, nobody ever asked us to. But we had the ability to bring large amounts of water and food into areas that you can't get into, forest fire areas, stuff like that. And we trained to do it. We never really interacted well. We worked with the U.S. Forest Service to be trail volunteers. And we went along, of course, the basic thing was cleaning the trails. Doing huge cleanups on the bad ones, and then random cleanups, you know, as we just drove around, and we tracked hours and hours of patrolling, and reinforcing like the no campfire rules, that kind of stuff. Some people go, well, that's not the militia's job. Well, telling some idiot in the middle of August in the San Bernardino Mountains when, you know, fire risk is 100% to me is not tyranny. That's saving lives. So I had no problem with doing that. Just saying, we never wrote tickets. We didn't have the ability to say, hey, you can't have a fire. You'll have to get your stove out. Oh, sorry. It never had a problem. We responded to injuries, rollovers. We could get there faster than public safety because on every weekend there were at least three or four people out patrolling in different vehicles. We were all trained in first aid. A lot of them got EMT-1 like I did. And it was just a great chance to scout the terrain, although it's no value of me now. I'm 5 hours north. But what are you pointing at? You got something in the chat room? Yeah. Go ahead.
Lucky Hill said, did you guys do a training this past weekend?
No, we didn't do a training. We only do trainings on the third weekend of the month. That's something that we do. If you want to come to take part in one of our trainings, this next one is a closed training unless you're a member of the church. But Sunday, the Saturday training, but Sunday's training is open to anyone who comes to the church service, eats with us, and then you can participate in the training. We want to get to know you. I mean, it's not like we'll tell you, if you go through the church service and eat with us, we'll just send you away. But we want you to do some fellowship first. So it's always the third Sunday of the month, never the first. So that's just a little reminder for you folks. And if you want to find the Church of Kauai, you can just email me, and you can do that. But there are so many ways that we can improve our image. Not that I care much about that in this day and time, but that makes it a little easier to recruit. Plus, you can apply these skills and these all that stuff you've been reading about, all those things you've wanted to do. It's much easier when you're doing it hands-on. Anybody can sit in a classroom and tell you, okay, this is the way you do this. This is the way you do that. But until you get out there and do stuff, you're just playing a game. And I don't mean to insult anybody, but the truth is, if you're just a cyber patriot or you're just somebody who's got a great library, and has never applied any of it, you're never going to learn your limits and your strengths. I mean, we do training here that leaves me crippled for a couple days, so I know my limits. We do things here that I haven't done since I was back in the military. We do things here that were harder than when I was in the fire services. And you're not going to be able to do that if you're all alone and sitting in a garage somewhere and just stockpiling food and ammo. You're not. You're just not. People come up here all the time, well, I'm a lone wolf. Well, okay, that's good. I'll pray for you that they never find you. But if they find you, I pray that you're saved and that you go to heaven, because they will destroy you. I just finished reading Patriots. And I don't want to give any spoilers out for those of you that haven't read it. But I read it a long time ago, and I read it again with some revisions in it. It was really good. The revisions are worth it. I read the book in a matter of a week. I would have read it in 3 days, but I had stuff going on. But you just can't survive alone, and that book points it out very succinctly. And you can't just shelter in place. The government puts that term out there because they want you to get that mindset that, oh, I'll just stay in my home, I'll just stay in my home. They want that for two reasons. One, if you all die, it's easy to identify the bodies because you're at a specific address that the census has taken all the information on. And two, if they want to come silence you, they know which house to attack. I know that sounds draconian, but it's true. And you may say, oh, they're not going to do that. Why do you think they do the census? Back in 1941, when they rounded up all the Japanese and Americans of Japanese descent here, those were Americans, they used the census to do it. So if you're going to stay in your urban environment, they know who you are, they know where you are, and they know everything about you. You may think, oh, they don't know anything about me. They may not know they know about you, but when they have a need to know about you, they know where to go to pull your file. They may not even be paying attention to you right now. They may not care one little bit about you. But the minute you start shooting back and repelling people, they're going to go, hey, wait a minute, who is this guy? Bring up his file. 455 Harris Street, you know, blah, 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 America. Who is this guy? Oh, now I know who this guy is. Yeah, look at his credit card charges. He's been buying all kinds of food online. Look at this. We see he ordered a bunch of ammo. Yeah, we better just mortar his house just in case. Sounds like a typical nut, right? That's how they work. They are postponing the battle so they can collect data on everybody. They can build their camps. They can build their infrastructure. They can build their communication networks, and they can violate ours and find out what we're doing. I mean, I'm doing this in the open. They know exactly where I'm at. I start every show saying I'm coming to you from the church at Kaweah. Period. I don't hide what I'm doing. Some people say that's too much of a risk. Well, if I can train more than the people that I'm training here by doing this, or getting them motivated, I don't say I'm training, I'm not really doing anything of training value with this, but get you motivated to go out and organize, then it's worth it. And it doesn't have to be a big group. Don't be disheartened right now. I got a lot of people, there's a couple people in the chat room too that are saying, well, I just got woken up. What do I do? Three people. If you can get three people, if it's you, your wife, and your teenage kids, that's all you need. But you got to be dedicated to it. You got to take it seriously. I mean, if you got younger kids, you make it a game. But if you got older kids, you make it real. Do you understand? Three-man teams are great. One can work on procuring food, firewood, cooking the meal. One stands guard, and the third one is sleeping. You work in 8-hour shifts, and you rotate around the clock. The military police, we had three-man, what they called fire teams. We'd be in a Humvee. There'd be the gunner, the driver, and then the radio telephone operator, which is the passenger in the front seat. That's how we did everything, whether we were doing rapid route recon, traffic control points, enemy prisoner of war processing, which I never did in the real world, by the way. I just got a lot of training in it. Garrison duty, whatever. The only time we were alone was when we were on the gate. That may be different for a lot of people. You know, they were like, wow, why only three people? Well, three people can get a lot done. Think about fire and movement. Two people can get it done. You got three, you can move even faster and farther, leapfrogging. And if one gets wounded, one can lay down cover fire while the other one recovers him. Okay, at 29, start playing the music. So there's no reason to do this alone. It's insane. Unless you're completely ordained by the Lord and he's called you out to stand alone on a hill somewhere, I'm not going to argue with any man over that. I won't question that, but if you want your family to survive, if you want you or your soul person, now's the time. Take this time that the Lord has given us, the confusion that He's put in the enemy right now, while He's waiting to anoint and raise up others. Use this time. Use this time to rally, to procure, to train, to think out your plans. I'm going to talk a little bit in the next half hour about having a plan and how to pre-run your routes and how to pre-plan your escape routes out of suburbia. Certain things to look for. And we'll be back after this. There's the music.
Came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. In the little streets of Belfast, in the dark of early morn, British soldiers came running, breaking little homes away scorn. Hear the sobs of crying children, dragging fathers from their bed. Watch the scene as helpless mothers, watch the blood fall from their heads. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Not for them a judge or jury, or indeed a crime at all. Being Irish means they're guilty, so they're guilty one and all. Round the world a truth will echo, Cromwell's men are here again. England's name again is sullied in the eyes of honest men. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Proudly march behind our banner, proudly march behind our men. We will have them free to help us build a nation once again. On the people, stand together, proudly march on your way. Never fear or never falter, till the boys come home to stay. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Okay, and we're back up. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. This is the last half hour. We're coming to you live from the church at Kauia Ranch here in Central California, right outside the front gates of Sequoia National Park, if that helps you locate where we're at. Yes, that's right. There are patriots and rednecks all over Central California. When you think California, don't think sodomites and starlets with fake body parts and all that garbage. it's a pretty big state, and we're spread out all over the place. I mean, it's better as you go north and concentrate going farther north. Lately, I've been looking at some northern cities in Northern California to get me a little closer to my daughter, and I'm thinking, man, you know, it's as you go north, the density of good people gets greater, and the numbers of bad people gets less. It's just kind of weird. It's kind of like the reverse on the East Coast, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to insult anybody, but you get the point. So we've been talking about what you need to do now in this period of grace that the Lord has given us, while we're waiting for the New World Order to pull their, you know, pull the trigger on something. And we should use this time wisely. We shouldn't forget, you know, what we're here for and what the goals of the movement are. It's a holy cause of liberty. And that may offend some people, but too bad. It has always been a holy cause of liberty, because true freedom and liberty come from the author of all good things, and that is Jesus Christ. No king but King Jesus. Cat just walked in. But we're going to continue on, and I'm talking about what we need to be doing now. That people are sending me emails. I got a bunch of emails. What do I do now? Oh, I'm panicking. Don't panic. Take a deep breath. Pray for guidance. Figure out what your resources are, what gear you still have that you don't need to go get, and make a list. And just each week, get something. Each week, buy some extra canned food. Each week, go buy some Band-Aids, beans, and bullets. You just be diligent and be what's the word I'm looking for? Be faithful in the Lord that He will give you enough time. And if you run out of time, you have exactly what you have. Period. But taking exactly what you have and standing still in a major metropolitan area is suicide. Period. I'm sorry. I don't mean to belittle the lone wolves out there. Maybe some of you are super Rambos. I've yet to meet one. That doesn't mean they don't exist. But you've got to find a route to get out, given that you've been you had your finger on the pulse of the breakdown of society wherever you're living, and you say, this is it. I got to get out. Well, don't wait until the last minute. Don't just go, well, I'm just going to jump on a freeway and I'm going to drive straight for the hills. No, you can't do that. You need to have at least three different routes to get out, and none of them can be freeway. Because if it's a total meltdown of society, the freeways, I mean, you already know this. I mean, it's common sense. Look at every refugee film footage since they've been filming, you know, wars, and you see just the main routes out of town are packed. You know, abandoned cars, you know, wagons being pulled by people with the kids in it.
It's not a freeway anymore.
Yeah, it's not a freeway anymore. It's a one way out at a snail's pace. So hopefully you leave before it gets that ugly. So you've got to find some surface street routes and some non-traditional routes. Like ours, we had several routes for where I live in Southern California. Two of the routes were surface streets, zigzagging around, going through the least angry neighborhoods. Take that as you like it. And then we had two that were non-traditional routes. One was the Santa Ana River Basin. Remember, we had four-wheel drives. The water is only high in flash flood season, so depending on the time of year that the event goes down, it may not be viable. But it's a perfect sand route all the way out and out of everything. You know, you still got to look out for the overpasses, the bridges, but it has to be pre-run. How do you pre-run something you're not supposed to be in? Very carefully. It builds skills. Well, if you can't pre-run the bottom, pre-run every overpass and check the heights to see if your vehicle will get through. I know that sounds stupid, but some waterways through cities will have, you know, wide enough to drive in until they get to a choke point where, you know, it goes into another waterway, and you may not be able to get your vehicle through there. So you got to check that. The second way was railroad tracks. Now, we chose the railway for two reasons, because we knew in an earthquake they stop all rail travel in the L.A. area, right? During a riot or something, they probably wouldn't. But if it was a complete breakdown of society, we didn't think there'd be any trains running. Plus, you can get enough warning. Study the times that they come through. You know, they're not going to give you a schedule for freight trains coming through, but they'll give you a schedule for the passenger trains. And you can build on that with observation and add to that. We had to go through Cajon Pass to get up and out. There were three or four tunnels, I can't remember the exact number now, I think it was three tunnels, that you had to get through, that if you got caught in there while the train was going through, you're done. So we had to know the times. Well, we ran that thing three or four times. We ran it different times of the year. We ran it different times of the day. Then after the Patriot Act, they made it illegal to drive along train tracks. So you're committing a felony, a federal crime when you do it. But you need to know those things. We wanted to time it. We found old stagecoach trails, the Butterfield Stagecoach Trail, Butterfield Overland Stagecoach Trail, the Mojave Road. For us, well, our goal was to get out of California, period. Make it to Arizona, make it to Nevada. We had cash stuff all over the place on the way there. And we'll talk a little bit about that on another show about caching, because there's a lot that goes into that. But just know that you have to stage supplies along the way. We could carry everything. So most of us could. We had tactical trailers because we're all four-wheel drive. We had off-road trailers that we either built, purchased, or modified from existing offerings. And we could keep. We knew exactly. We all had the same exact model vehicle. We all drove, and you're going to laugh at this, Suzuki Samurais. And everybody picked a different part of a motor, and there were enough of us that there were two or three parts. Everybody had extra springs bolted onto their vehicles. Everybody had this. Everybody had that. And we had two or three people in our group that were just, to say the least, I mean, they were the best, adaptive mechanics I've ever seen. We had a vehicle roll over and break the frame. It cracked the frame through. Now, usually we had two welders with us, but we said, hey, wait a minute. For training, let's say we don't have any welders. Does anybody have any welding rods? Well, of course, we had those. We took three batteries, jumper cables, hooked them up in a series, and welded the frame together doing that. Because we might not always... I actually sold my welder when times got bad. I had a rechargeable DC welder. But a lot of the guys started switching to these under-the-hood welder systems with bigger alternators and all that, because the Suzuki Samurai alternator will not run a welder, period. It's too small. It's only like 45 amps or something. But we worked these trainings in. We pre-drove them during daylight hours to see what who's out, who's doing what. We also looked for worst-case scenario places that we could find food, that we could find fuel, things like that. Always thinking, if it happened right now, what would I do? Let's say you don't drive your bug-out vehicle to work, because your bug-out vehicle is this big, mean-looking four-wheel drive or armored van that you don't want your coworkers to know about, Minuteman. And you're in the Chevette. What?
Minuteman says, as you get in shape, do some training hikes that are heavier than your bug-out pack, so when you do have to carry it, it will be lighter than what you have been training with. And for your bug-out vehicle, carry large bolt cutters and small cutting torch.
Yeah, good point. Having the means of access, because you don't know what the enemy's going to throw up. You may have to veer off your course. So having bolt cutters and a cutting torch, we actually carried Makitas with the diamond wheel cutters because we had inverters under our vehicle hoods. We could run a Makita, and if we had to, we could cut anything off. There have been several trails on the map that showed open. You get to the top and there's a gate. Now, in peacetime, we're not going to violate that gate, but we knew that, hey, we got to get something to cut that gate open. These are things that the Forest Service BLM do without telling anybody. They'll decide the impact is too great in this one area. You may have put a cache up there in April, but in August, they shut it down because of fire hazard. You need to know those things, and if you don't know those things, you have to be able to get around it. I can say that happened more than once to us in our tests. As you're going out, you pick your rally points. You have to have leave-behind communications. So that, I just dropped it. I don't know where it went. But let's say, for instance, everyone doesn't make it to your first rally point, but you've got a drop-dead time that you need to leave that rally point for the further safety of the people that were able to make it. You have a hidden message way. I don't like using big words. I don't like cryptographic. You'll use imagery to let them know that you're moving on to the next one. Some people say leave some type of journal there. I've known people that have done that. Oh, so-and-so is here, so-and-so is here, we've moved on to the next rally point. I don't want to put names down. We just have, we use the walking K symbol before. Those of you that don't know, that's a POW thing. Put a giant K, and walk it out in the grass for the aircraft to see. We can do the same thing with tape and just tell them which way you went. And you can't ignore those drop-dead times. It's the safety of the entire group. should not be violated because one guy didn't make it for whatever reason to the rally point on time. So you do that. You just keep going. We're not sure, but every time we bang on the table, we get... it's strange. It's like there's a mic on the table somewhere I don't see that's plugged in somewhere because there's nothing up. Bring that down. That's okay there. So Stacy just walked in. And a reminder, don't call me after the show. And I usually don't mind that. I love getting calls after the show. You can call now. 559-561-8225. Do you have it up on the screen?
Yeah.
559-561-8225. But we're going to a town hall meeting for the next town over. It affects us because we're within their sphere of influence, even though we're unincorporated. But we're taking off right at 7 to go run over there. But these rally points need to be designated. Everyone needs to know them by memory. You shouldn't have to use a map to get to them. The other thing is, when you're making maps, put no marks on them. You can use acetates over them, things like that. You should come up with your own grid code that if the rally points need to change for security reasons, let's say the first element gets there and it's been compromised by walking zombies or the New World Order, whatever, jackbooted thugs, you can send out a code through your communication links or visual that has been compromised and move to the next one. You have to have a code system. That's a topic for a whole nother show. And I think each unit, regardless of what the universal militia standards are, and I have no problem with those, each unit should have its own code system that only that unit uses. You know, that's never leaked out, never violated. It should be memorized. It should be simple. You shouldn't carry around a code book around your neck. I'm highly against that. We're not the U.S. Army where they're going to change, you know, frequently for call for fire. If we get into a war situation, then fine, we'll do that. But for intra-unit security, just between the members, you need to practice that and make it simple, make it easy to remember, and so that all the people, everybody in there can use it. You know, you shouldn't go over maybe 8 or 9 different symbols for different things. So that's just what we do. But everything needs to be thought of ahead of time. If you don't think of it ahead of time, it's going to be a nightmare. It's kind of like what Minuteman just said in the chat room, if you didn't hear Lou. You overtrain now so that when the situation happens, you're better suited for it. So if you're used to carrying if all your gear weighs 40 pounds, add another 10, 20 pounds to it. So when you train with it, when you're actually running from the blue beanies, you only have a 40-pound pack. It's a little easier. So you cannot train too much. I know that sounds bizarre. A lot of people go, oh, I don't want to train like that. I don't want to have to sweat. And, you know, I want it to be simple and easy so people don't cry and whine about it. If you're going to cry and whine about the training now and the pre-planning and the prep work, how much of a whiner are you going to be when it's really bad and there are bullets coming at you? If you can't handle the training, you can't handle the real thing. That's why we train. You also isolate weak parties. Now, of course, I'm assuming this situation is urban related. You have to evacuate. You have to get, you know, you have to move. But that doesn't mean that just because you live in the country, you're not going to have to evacuate. So don't just sit back and say, well, I got my storage up. I got my root cellar. I got my 14 nephews. We're going to make it. You don't know what's going to move you off of that property. It may not be the evil that men do. It may be an act of weather. You may have a tornado come through and wipe out your farm, and then the next week martial law is declared because, you know, they've had natural disasters all around the country. They're not going to let that go unexploited, right? So you may have nothing. So to have caches, to have routes, to have all that thought out ahead of time is only wise. I mean, look at us here. We have one bug-out vehicle, and it's down because of a $700 part that I have to save up for to get. I mean, I can drive it right now, but I can't get over 10, 15 miles an hour because it's all that electronic garbage. You know, that was bad planning. We need an older vehicle or another vehicle. So we just...